This podcast is brought to you by our Let's Go Brandon t-shirt. Order it at gracecurlyshow.com. Enjoy the podcast.
The numbers are in. Listeners are voting often and early for Grace Curley, just like they did for her adopted grandfather. From year one to number one.
Make it so, number one.
The Millennial with the Mic is the most listened to midday show in Boston.
You got to bring in a new voice, a young voice, a rising voice, Grace Curley.
You can read Grace's work in the Boston Herald, the Spectator, and the Daily Mail. Now, live from the Aviva Trattoria studio.
Get ready, pal.
It's Boston's number one midday show, The Grace Curley Show.
Hello, everyone. Welcome back to The Grace Curley Show. You made it to Thursday. You survived the press conference from hell. You know what, though? Beggars can't be choosers. We're just happy that he gave one, and we are going to talk about it. I should walk everyone through.
No, the happy is the right word, but.
Yeah. We should be, well, it was a remarkable press conference. That's my word of the day, remarkable. Joe Biden is doing remarkably well. I was debating this morning whether or not to watch the full press conference, and I'll tell you why. While the press conference was going on yesterday, I had very important business to take care of. I cut my hair, and I wasn't going to subject my hairdresser to Joe Biden speaking for 2 hours. Lord knows I would not do that to someone, an unsuspecting victim, and say, hey, by the way, can we put on Joe's press conference? No.
That's even worse than Pelosi throwing her hairdresser under the bus.
Yes, it would be. It would be cruel and unusual. So when I got to work today, and I did on my way back from my haircut, I did tune into Howie. He was grabbing some cuts here and there, but I didn't have a full picture of it. So I called my mom on the way home, and I was like, hey, what's going on? I got my hair cut. She was like, hey, I got to call you back. I don't care about your hair. I'm watching this Joe Biden speech. It's unbelievable, this press conference. I said, all right. So then I came in this morning. I sat down at my computer, and I only have so many hours before the show to prep, and I really had to decide, am I starting it from the beginning and sitting down and watching this entire thing, or am I just grabbing the highlights, you know, from Benny Drama, or I'm sorry, not Benny Drama, from Guy Benson, from all these people on Twitter. Am I just going to grab those cuts and look at them? And I asked the listeners, and a lot of people said, you have to watch this entire thing. It is important. And I said, okay. And then I went to the YouTube feed and I saw how long it was. And I was like, fine, I'll watch it, but I'm not watching it on normal speed. I'm watching this on 1.5 speed. You can speed up how fast the video plays. And I got through it in an hour. I got through, you know, an hour and 50 minutes of Joe Biden in an hour.
Yeah, you cut down the brain freezes from 40 seconds each to 20 seconds using that feature.
I'll be honest, when you go back to the regular speed, you feel like you're on shrooms. I mean, you feel it's like wading through molasses. That's how slowly it is going. But I have some takeaways. So I wanted to start with that so you guys know how credible I am right now. I was just talking to Howie about it, and he said, oh, you're making me feel guilty. I'm just looking at the highlights. I'm like, well, you know what? You know what? I take this very seriously. I'm a journalist. So I have some takeaways from the speech. And we're going to start big, and then we're going to get into the details. This reminds me of English class. You know, you start broad. It's like an upside-down triangle. Then you get into the specifics. And holy hell, there were a lot of specifics to get into. But let's start with the major takeaway. Biden.
You see, I didn't get my English lessons.
I didn't get my English lessons from Dr. Jill, but I feel okay about that. Now, Biden is setting up in this speech some interesting company lines that we're going to hear for the next 10 months. And it's very important to note that this speech, I originally thought, oh, he's coming out and doing this press conference because he likes to do one a year. You might as well knock it right off. You know, it's like Michael Scott when he decides his New Year's resolution, floss. So he flosses at 12:01, blood everywhere is what he says. I thought this was the same thing for Joe. He's like, you know what, New Year's resolution, do a press conference. Boom, we'll do it right now. We'll get it over with. But when you really look at the timing of this, we have 10 months until the midterms. And the Democrats are in a very precarious situation. A lot of Joe Biden's agenda, his transformative or transformational agenda, is stalled. And it's pretty clear that a lot of it's dead. D-O-A. And so what he has to do now is figure out where they go from here. Coincidentally, and conveniently for me, I have a piece up right now at spectatorworld.com. It just got posted, I think, an hour ago, where I basically try to see what Democrats are going to do. And I think his speech yesterday really gave us a hint of where they're going to go for the next 10 months. The first part of it, which was a major theme of this press conference, was the idea that Republicans are obstructionists and the things that have gone wrong thus far have been because Biden was not able to get things through because of Republicans. Now, that is false on its face. There's two Democrats who have helped Republicans immensely in that effort to block all of Biden's terrible ideas. And I would also add in, which I read today in a fact check, that Republicans were instrumental in passing his bipartisan infrastructure deal. So one of the big things that he did get passed was thanks to Republicans and not thanks to, let's say, AOC. So he sets up this idea that there's two teams and he keeps calling Republicans the other team. What do they stand for? And he specifically takes a lot of shots at Mitch McConnell. He asks a lot of questions. What does Mitch stand for? Can anyone answer? He acted like he was a teacher and these were all his students. He was asking them a lot of questions. And like most students in school, they were all just sitting there. Ugh. No one was raising their hand, even when he specifically asked them to raise their hands. But he kept saying, what do Republicans stand for? In other words, Democrats, they have all these great ideas. Republicans won't pass them. What do they stand for? And we're going to play all the cuts, but I just wanted to start with a little setup here. The reason I find this interesting, and I have to give credit, is because Dana Perino a few months ago mentioned this tactic by the Democrats to say, oh, and Nancy Pelosi's done it before with Mitch McConnell. Oh, all he does is shoot down legislation. All he does is kill bills. All he does is do this and do that. But what Democrats are failing to understand, or maybe they just want their base to not understand, is that being against massive spending and being against a lot of these far-left agendas, that in itself is a stance. That in itself is something to run on. And apparently, based off the polls, which I know Joe Biden doesn't believe, apparently it resonates a lot with Americans right now. So they can complain and say, well, Mitch McConnell's not offering anything up to the table, but he's offering to kill all of your stuff. He's offering to say, that idea sucks, I'm going to stop it. And whether or not you think that that's good doesn't matter. That is his stance. And it's working. And they used to say this about Mitch McConnell and say, oh, he's the Grim Reaper. And one time he went out and said, I'm proud to be the Grim Reaper. I'm proud to be the one who's killing all these socialist plans by the Democrats. And I don't really like Mitch McConnell all that much. But that's his most likable quality, is that he is an obstructionist and he does stop these dumb ideas from getting any further. But Joe Biden wants to set up this idea that we are trying everything and they're not. And then the other part of this, that was a huge theme. Another theme was, I've done remarkably well as president. You saw that a couple of times. We have sound of it. He doesn't believe the polls. He thinks he's doing a great job. And there was also what I like to call the Joe Biden fight against the B-roll. There was a few moments during this presser where you did get the sense yet again that this man thinks he's the victim of the mainstream media, which could not be further from the truth. I mean, Jennifer Rubin gave this press conference an A-. Safe to say they're still on his side. But he is convinced that the media is trying to make him look bad. And a great example of that was when someone asked him about school closings. And he's like, I know all you people play all these news headlines of schools closing. Again, as if the media is just trying to make him look bad and Americans are being gaslit by the media. That is also false. Another part of this that I thought was important was that he said he's going to pass big chunks of his legislation. In other words, they're going to take this Build Back Better plan, break it up, and try to get certain parts of it passed. The name that kept coming up during all of that talk was Mitt Romney. You know how bad Mitt Romney is when he's mentioned three times in a Joe Biden press conference. Oh, Mitt. Oh, Mitt. Oh, Mitt. And then the biggest part of this for me, one of them that's being mentioned a lot, is the comment he made about Russia and the Ukraine, which they actually had to bring Kamala Harris out today to clean up. I repeat, they had to bring Kamala Harris out to clean up Joe Biden's mess. That is like, in the words of one of my favorite comedians, that is like having a horse babysit a dog. I mean, like, she's cleaning up, and at the same time, she's making her own mess. Do you know what I mean? It's like if I came in with a mop and you said, oh, Grace, you have to clean up this floor, but my shoes were covered in mud. And so while I'm mopping up, I'm just making my own mess. Who in their right mind thinks, you know what, we're having a little bit of an issue. Let's send in Kamala. That ought to make things better. And she didn't. She made things significantly worse, as we expect. But the last part of this that we're going to spend a lot of time on today is Joe Biden setting up, which I really think is a frightening indication of where this is going. He's setting up this idea that because his voting rights acts are not being passed, because Kristen Sinema and Joe Manchin will not support abolishing the filibuster, so things like the John Lewis Act, the For the People Act, all of these voting rights, using air quotes, acts are not being passed, that means that the midterms, which a lot of people are predicting are going to wipe out the Democrats, there's going to be a huge red wave. So conveniently, because there's going to be this huge red wave in 10 months, Joe Biden is now saying, if we don't pass these things, then those elections are illegitimate. Now, I was told for a full year now that questioning the results of an election is treasonous, that I could, that it's the worst thing in the world, that I'm a conspiracy theorist and I'm crazy and I'm dangerous. But now that Joe Biden thinks that his party is going to get obliterated, pulverized in the midterms, he's already setting the stage for, we can't trust these elections. Now, keep in mind, all of this stuff that he wants to be passed in order for the 2022 elections to be secure in his mind, he had no problem with those things not existing in 2020. So for some reason, his 2020 election was above board, water leaks and all, pipe bursts and all, you couldn't question it. But something has happened in 2022 that now we have to be very skeptical of the incoming red wave. I don't think he would be pushing this if he thought there was going to be an incoming blue wave. Because you remember before his election, he bragged about how they had this voter fraud system and how everything is so secure and, you know, our elections can be trusted. That was before. And then he won. And now we're heading into a season where it's looking like the Democrats are going to lose a lot. Suddenly we can't trust these. So Trump sent out an email saying, oh, good, I'm glad he's on board. I'm paraphrasing, but he said, oh, good, I'm glad he agrees with me that these elections are, you know, fraudulent. It's insane. I should also mention here that, and we're going to get to all of this, but he quoted a lot of people, his mom, his dad, Barack Obama, Governor Sununu. He was mentioning a lot of
Senator
random people.
Senator Sununu, please.
Yes, he confused that. He also blamed everyone for his problems. We are going to get to all of this. I would love to hear your take. If there's a cut that you really like that you want me to play, I feel like a disc jockey. Now's the time. We're playing Biden's greatest hits.
Spinning the wheels of steel.
844-500-4242. And by the way, we are going to have Steve Nelson from the New York Post on at 105. He was the reporter from the New York Post who asked Joe Biden about China, about Hunter, about the coronavirus. So that's going to be great. We also have Matt Boyle joining us at 2 to talk about the situation with Ukraine and Russia, which Joe Biden just made infinitely worse. All in a day's work. We have a really, really, really fun show planned. Feel free to call in. BOGO is back for 1 week only for the Eden Pure Thunderstorm Air Purifier. You've been waiting for it, and now it's here. You've always wondered if the Thunderstorm Air Purifier really works, and this is the time to find out. I turn this on usually before I leave the house, and anything that you cook the night before, any of the leftover smell, is completely gone by the time you get home. This is a really great device. It's also really great right now because a lot of offices have their windows where you can't really open the windows in a lot of offices, but you want to keep the air moving.
Yeah, and you need to have that ionized air, which creates that super oxygen, and that's how the thunderstorm works. You just plug it in, you turn it on, and it shoots out those ions, and it creates that super oxygen, and that's what eliminates. It doesn't just cover up. That's what eliminates any odors. It also eliminates allergens, pollutants, even some viruses, stuff that you just don't want to be breathing, especially in winter air offices.
Yeah, and especially that dry desert air. That was what Officer Mark was telling us. He said, you know, you just sleep so much better with this air in your house. So do what Officer Mark did. Do what Jared did. Try the Eden Pure Thunderstorm this week. You buy one, you get one. This is only until Sunday the 23rd, which is coming up. This is for my listeners, so go to EdenPureDeals.com. Put in code word Grace BOGO. That's EdenPureDeals.com, code word Grace BOGO. Shipping is free. We're taking calls for the rest of the hour. If you have comments about Joe Biden's presser, if you want to hear one of these cuts, we're going to break it all down. Big show ahead of us. This is The Grace Curley Show.
The Grace Curley Show will be right back. Start the afternoon off right.
Now what? Now comes a girl. Here she is. This is just the best part of my day.
It's Grace Curley.
Welcome back, everyone. You know, Joe Biden said how full his plate is, but looking at all these cuts, I have my work cut out for me today. Let's go to the callers first, though, to see what people thought of Joe Biden's first press conference of 2022. Perhaps his last. We don't know. Lawrence, you're first up with Grace on the Grace Curley Show. Go ahead, Lawrence.
Grace, I want us to start taking back our language. I may remember the Voting Rights Act. This is the wrong way to refer to this legislation. I want us to start using things like Senate Bill 1 or H.R. 1. Remember that Trump always called it the China virus. He took the word away from the decrepit and corrupt press. They're mislabeling things. Why can't we stop advertising the legislation as the John Lewis blah, blah, blah stuff, or the Affordable Care, blah, blah, blah. Why can't we just call it by its statutory title and then stop the salesmanship?
Yeah, you're absolutely right, because there's this sense that they put this unicorn sugar coat on all of the titles of these bills, and they're not telling people what they're really getting. And then what they can do is, to use a word that was also thrown out yesterday at the press conference, they can weaponize this, and they can say, Republicans don't want people to vote. Republicans are trying to subvert our elections. Republicans are trying to make it so minorities can't vote. I mean, the things that were coming out of Joe Biden's mouth yesterday were really incredible. And let's just play one of these cuts. Cut one, please.
Speaking of voting rights legislation, if this isn't passed, do you still believe the upcoming election will be fairly conducted and its results will be legitimate?
Well, it all depends on whether or not we're able to make the case to the American people that some of this is being set up to try to alter the outcome of the election.
Care to be more specific? Like, I would like one example. What is being set up to subvert the election? Is it that Republicans don't want massive mail-in voting? Is it that Republicans just want things to go back to how they were for the last 50 years? I'm confused where all of a sudden Republicans are trying to stop minorities from voting, and they haven't really given me any evidence to suggest that. Joe, you're next with Grace on the Grace Curley Show. Go ahead, Joe.
Hey, Grace, thanks for taking my call. Great show.
Thank you.
Yesterday, Joe Biden verified his cognitive decline by reminding himself he's not a senator anymore. He hasn't been a senator for 15 years, and now he's got to remind himself how the Senate works. I mean, to me, that was a complete loss of memory.
Yeah, and I think that he's trying to go along with this theme, because this is what the autopsy of the last 2 years has shown the Democrats, is that people are sick of Joe Biden governing as a senator. They want President Joe Biden. I think that's code for, like, oh, they want more executive orders. Like, that's what we're all just dying for. Because what Joe Biden really took his election as, which was a huge mistake on his part, he took his election as a mandate, when really it was just people who wanted him to tamp down the rhetoric. And we're going to get to that in a second, because when asked about that Bull Connor speech, rather than just admit, rather than just own it and say, Yeah, I went a little far. Yeah, I actually pushed people in the wrong direction. He starts yelling at the reporter.
Why are you yelling at me?
He starts getting mad at the reporter for citing his own words and then kind of insinuates the reporter's dumb. And I have the transcript of what he originally said and now what he's claiming he has said. And just like that last caller mentioned, it's parsing words now. It's mental gymnastics, and no one's buying it. We'll be back with more of your calls. This is your time to weigh in on Joe Biden's first press conference. We've got so much sound to get to. Don't go anywhere.
Live from the Aviva Trattoria studio.
Welcome back, everyone, to the Grace Curley Show. Let's not waste any time here. We're discussing Joe Biden's very long press conference yesterday. We all lost that poll question. I did not see it going for over an hour. But he was very proud of himself. He was, he was trying to act a little Trumpian in a way. He kept checking his watch, going, how much longer do you guys want? 20 minutes, let's go. And he did bring up the push-ups. This was lost on some reporters, but when you're dealing with Grace Curley, I look for the nitty-gritty. And there was a moment during the press conference, it was a little bit off mic, so it was a little bit tricky to hear, but let's play Joe Biden doing his, even Chuck Todd said, this reminded me of candidate Joe Biden. Well, it's probably because we haven't seen Joe Biden talk about doing push-ups in front of a podium in quite some time. Let's hear it.
On behalf of the Correspondents Association, thank you very much for standing for our questions. We hope the public has found it as enlightening as those of us in the room have. I want to ask you, sir, about one of the overriding...
I can still stand. It's amazing.
We appreciate it.
I can do push-ups. Did you hear that? I heard it. Throughout the course...
We appreciate it.
Can do push-ups. I promise I can. Throughout the course of the speech, though, another huge part of the speech, I had mentioned the sowing doubt in voter in the election integrity, setting up Republicans as obstructionists, which they are. Thank God they're obstructing a lot of this far left agenda of Joe Biden's. And another part of this was the blame game. This was a man who blamed everyone over the course of 2 hours. He blamed the American public for not knowing or not recognizing how well he's doing, how amazingly he's done with the COVID pandemic. He blamed federal workers at one point while quoting Barack Obama and saying, somebody's screwing up somewhere. Do we have that cut, Jared? I had pulled it earlier today, so it should be in there. He also blamed Mitch McConnell and Republicans, asking what do they stand for. I want to play one of these because, so let's play. This is Joe quoting his BFF, Barack Obama.
I think it was, I forget which cabinet member saying to Barack Obama, where something was going on. And he said, well, you can be sure, Mr. President, of the millions of employees you have out there, somebody's screwing up right now. Somebody's screwing up. So, it's just a... But I think you have to look at things like we used to look at it. Balance.
Let's pause it. It used to be the buck stops here. Now it's the buck stops with somebody. Somebody's screwing up. Jim, you're next with Grace on the Grace Curley Show. Go ahead, Jim.
Afternoon, Grace.
Afternoon.
I would just like to reiterate what the first man said about the use of language and how anyone responds to somebody, one of these ultra lefties trying to use their language and interject it in a conversation or even to bring out their narrative. I never, ever, ever do that with them. I tell them, no, it wasn't a protest, it was a riot or whatever it may be.
Yeah, and I've said this quote a million times, and everyone's probably read it a million times, but there is something to be said for the destruction of words. The destruction of words is a beautiful thing. I mean, if you control the language, you really do, you control the narrative, you control the message, and the left is very good at that. I have to give credit where credit is due. They are very good at interjecting their language and sugarcoating what they're trying to do and getting it out there to the public. And I think what's so frustrating for someone like Joe Biden, beyond the fact that he has mental decline and that's frustrating, is also that it's not working. For some reason, it's not working anymore. For some reason, people are waking up. Maybe they just pushed people a little bit too far. And I think we're seeing the results of that, which is these very low poll numbers, which Joe told us, he doesn't believe them. Can we have that cut? He says that he doesn't believe the polls. Let me know, Jared, if you have it. It's taking me, there are just so many cuts here that it's hard to really go through them all. But once we have that, we'll play it. And then what I also want to do is I want to play the difference between what he said about Bull Connor and what he's now claiming he said about Bull Connor. And here's why. He gives this speech in Atlanta. I've talked about this quite a bit since it's happened. But it was a horrible, horrible speech by all accounts. A lot of different critics have said this was a bad idea, even as far as like Peggy Noonan from the Wall Street Journal. They said this was not the way to go. You ostracized not only Republicans, who you're never going to get on your side now, but you really pushed Kristen Sinema and Joe Manchin further into their position that they don't want to support abolishing the filibuster. And he made that choice because he thought it was going to work. If he said, if you don't agree with me, you're Bull Connor, you're George Wallace. And now that people are bringing that back up to him, he's getting so angry, as if it's our fault, as if we wrote that speech and made him say it. So let's first play the original. This is Joe Biden when he thought this was going to be great. Like, he thought that Joe Scarborough and all these people were going to be applauding him and saying, wow, what a stance this guy just made. When really, the general consensus was, you get more flies with honey, Joe. Why are you yelling at everybody if you want them to come to your side? So let's play the original flashback, cut 17.
So I ask every elected official in America, how do you want to be remembered? At consequential moments in history, they present a choice. Do you want to be on the side of Dr. King or George Wallace? Do you want to be on the side of John Lewis or Bull Connor? Do you want to be the side of Abraham Lincoln or Jefferson Davis?
Now, he was confident when he was saying that. You know, I really think he, in his mind, he thought this was going to go over swimmingly, that he was going to get support from his side, from Democrats who were going to say, wow, that was so great, Joe. You really told them who's boss. And instead, that didn't happen. And so now he's changing the narrative. Let's hear. This was Philip Wegman asking him about it. Cut 15.
You dispute the characterization that you called folks who would oppose those voting bills as being Bull Connor or George Wallace, but you said that they would be sort of in the same camp.
No, I didn't say that. Look what I said. Go back and read what I said and tell me if you think I called anyone who voted on the side of the position taken by Bull Connor that they were Bull Connor.
But you did. We just heard it. That's exactly what you said. So I'm confused why he's claiming now that that's not what he said, as if we're mischaracterizing him, as if we're taking him out of context. Let's play cut 16. He's not done being angry yet.
And that is an interesting reading of English. I assume you got into journalism because you like to write.
So did you expect that would work with Senators Manchin or Sinema?
No, here's the thing. There's certain things that are so consequential.
I have to say, I love the tone of that guy, because when someone's getting that hot under the collar, if you just go really calm and you're just like, okay, well, did you think that was going to work? The contrast of this man trying to backtrack on what he thought was going to be a real stellar moment for him. We also should play. This was a cut that came towards the end of the press conference. He had a lot of pauses. He seemed very confused. This is cut 20.
Look, maybe I'm kidding myself, but as time goes on, the voter who is just trying to figure out, as I said, how to take care of their family, put three squares on the table, stay safe, be able to pay their mortgage or their rent, et cetera, is becoming much more informed on the motives of some of the political players and some of the and the political parties.
Well, I feel better.
Yikes.
And I also, I want to play something else while we're on this. When he was asked how he's doing, that one of the reporters did, which is my favorite new maneuver from these reporters, and I want them to keep doing it. They get up and they just read off all of the disasters that are unfolding, like Afghanistan, the withdrawal, inflation, COVID surging, the jobs report, the border. They just read them all off. It's a cute little, you know, nice little summary for Joe at the very top. And then he has to respond to it. And this was his response to a reporter listing off all of the issues right now. And you don't have to be tuned in to know there's issues. You can be one of those Americans, as Joe described us, who's just trying to put three squares a day on the table. And you can still figure out that things aren't going too swell. And listen to what Joe Biden said about his performance, cut 30. Sorry, we're just waiting. It's a little
inflation slow. Is up. Your signature domestic legislation is stalled in Congress. In a few hours from now, the Senate, an effort in the Senate to deal with voting rights and voting reform legislation is going to fail. COVID-19 is still taking the lives of 1,500 Americans every day. And the nation's divisions are just as raw as they were a year ago. Did you overpromise to the American public what you could achieve in your first year in office? And how do you plan to course correct going forward?
Why are you such an optimist? Look, I didn't overpromise. And what I have probably outperformed what anybody thought would happen.
I just have to say,
that is false.
If after all of those things that that man, and I'm sure he's just a Republican who's trying to weaponize on Joe Biden's failures, but if you can listen to all of those things listed off and say you've outperformed, I shudder to think where we would be if you underperformed. If this is you overperforming, good God. I feel the same way I felt when Jen Psaki said, we're going to bring out the cat on a bad news day. And they were having like the worst week. I'm like, wait, if this doesn't qualify as bringing out the cat, what are we in for? What comes next? But he really thinks he's overperformed. And he thinks that this is all going really well. And in fact, I want to make one other point here because I wrote down all of my overall thoughts on this. And something I noticed, and Howie used to point this out about Barack Obama. Barack Obama was the master at setting up a straw man. And Joe learned a lot from Barack. And he sets up all sorts of straw men throughout the course of his press conference. And he asks more questions. I think if we went by the transcript and looked at the amount of questions he asked, I think he asked more questions than were asked of him. And they were all very rhetorical, and they were all, he was asking the press, oh, what do you think about that? No, I'm serious. Raise your hand. No, I'm serious. And at some point, you wish one of those reporters would say, with all due respect, sir, we're here to ask you questions. You ran, you won, using quotes. You can answer the questions. Steve Nelson from the New York Post is not the president of the United States. Peter Ducey is not the president of the United States. Yamiche Alcindor, God, I wish things were different, but she is not the president of the United States. So all of these questions that he throws out there, and there's an element of awkwardness too, because they're all very self-congratulatory. Like, tell me someone you think's better than me. Imagine the president. You're standing in front of the president. You have a million questions to ask him. Tell me someone who you think's done a better job than me. And you're sitting there going, okay, well, this kind of puts me in a lose-lose situation here. I feel like I got to be very careful about what I say next. But he really was trying to convince people that he's doing such a phenomenal job. Let's also play, this is an example of it. Let's play cut 26.
Around this time last year when you were campaigning in Georgia, I think one of the things you told people was the power is literally in your hands. You know, if voters give Democrats the House and the Senate and the presidency, that all these big things can get accomplished. And, you know, we've seen stalemate, we've seen things being stymied. Why should folks believe you this time around?
Can you think of any other president who's done as much in 1 year? Name one for me.
I'm asking you.
I'm serious. You guys talk about how nothing's happened. I don't think there's been much on any incoming president's plate that's been a bigger menu than the plate I had given to me. I'm not complaining. Do that running in.
So just I just want to add one thing in here, sir. I'm pretending. I'm pretending that I'm in the press briefing. It's not that I would say nothing's happened. I would just say that a lot of negative things have happened. You know, we're
nothing
not saying
good has happened.
Yeah, we're not saying you haven't done a lot. It's just not the kind of stuff that really makes people happy. There's definitely stuff is happening. Something's happening. We can all feel that. We can all agree that there's happenings that are happening. It's just not good happenings, if that makes sense.
Name one president that's done more than me. Mr. President, I can think of 44, including one who died after 30 days.
Yeah. No, I know. I agree. I mean, I can't think of any president that's done as much damage as this guy. By the way, when we get back, I want to play. He really had it out for Mitch McConnell. Like I said, Mitch McConnell's speech about his Atlanta speech really bothered Joe Biden. So he was focused on Mitch McConnell. He has, you know, he's not happy with Mitch. And so he kind of tried to reverse the report card and put it on Mitch McConnell. And we're going to play some of those when we get back. We'll keep taking your calls, though, 844-500-4242. To make the best investment decisions, you need the best information. That's why you need to subscribe to the Liberty Through Wealth newsletter. Inside this newsletter, you'll discover 10 inexpensive small cap stocks that offer outstanding profit potential and dividend payouts. Alex Green has found under-the-radar stocks and believes they should be the cornerstone of your retirement in the coming years. You can also learn which small caps can deliver high-yield income payouts that more than rival expensive blue-chip stocks. A team of experts headed by Alexander Green will show you exactly how to grow and protect what you have as well as manage risk, stay ahead of Biden's inflation, and keep your wealth out of the hands of the tax man. The newsletter will help you achieve and maintain total financial independence. To subscribe and to learn more, go to onestockretirement.com. That's onestockretirement.com. We'll be right back with the poll question, with your calls, and with more from Joe Biden's presser. This is The Grace Curley Show.
You're listening to The Grace Curley Show. She's a master thespian, trained in the art of performance.
These pretzels are making me thirsty!
This is The Grace Curley Show.
My dad used to have an expression. He'd say, son, if everything's equally important to you, nothing's important to you.
Oh, the wisdom of Papa Joe. Or Papa Biden, whatever his name was. Grandpapa.
Pop, I believe.
Pop, thank you. Yes, we can never get enough of the Biden wisdom. You know, if Hunter is the smartest man he knows, then his dad must have been the smartest man he used to know. I don't know.
The difference between intelligence and wisdom.
Yes, absolutely. Today's poll question is brought to you by the Fallins Bee Inn in beautiful North Sutton, New Hampshire. My favorite weekend retreat, no matter the season. That's Fallansbee, the Fallins Bee Inn. Jared, what is the poll question and what are the results thus far?
Do you think Biden will hold another press conference this year?
No, I don't.
71% of the audience agrees. No, he probably won't.
Come on, man.
There are some people who are applauding this, and they're saying this was so great, including Jennifer Rubin. She gave the press a C-. She gave Joe Biden, she graded him an A-. And I just want to say, I don't know what the minus was for. I think that's a little harsh, Jen. I know he didn't specifically mention any of your puff pieces, but he still was thinking of them. He didn't mention them by name.
He was relatively cough-free. I have to give him that this
yes.
time around.
See, look at us.
We're growing as people, Grace.
You know what? We're giving the good with the bad.
Graciousness.
Speaking of, Stephen Nelson from the New York Post is joining us at 105. I'm very excited about this. Let's play his question so we give people a little tease of what's to come. This is Cut 25.
Well, President Biden, on the coronavirus, we're tragically approaching nearly 1 million Americans who died. And I'd like to ask you why it is during your 3.5-hour virtual summit in November with the Chinese president, you didn't press for transparency, and also whether that has anything to do with your son's involvement in an investment firm controlled by Chinese state-owned entities.
Yeah, that's right. We're having that guy on next.
Oh!
I can't wait. All right, we got so much show to get to. Don't forget Woker Joke at 1:30 as well. But Stephen Nelson from the New York Post joins us next. Don't go anywhere.